Rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners. We thank God for another Saturday. I'm Eben, and from now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you on this program, Issues of Life. Greetings to our listeners, wherever they are. It's a privilege to get in touch again. Last week, we started this interesting program, series, with Pastor Roger. We were talking about parenting and training our children in the fear of the Lord and in this challenging world. We started with the case study of Joseph in the Old Testament, and I believe it was quite insightful. And tonight, hopefully, we'll be continuing. And first, let's look at some of the news, the things happening in the news. I mean, this week has been a shocker for those who have been following the world news, and the world has been shocked by what Israel did this week in Lebanon. It's quite interesting, but okay, we'll get there. First, the first headline I'm reading is Israel takes out senior Hezbollah commander Ibrahim Akil in Beirut strike. Then under headline, Israel carries out strike in Beirut after Hezbollah launches 140 rockets. And then Hezbollah warns that all red lines have been crossed and there will be a devastating response to Israel's declaration of war. Then this says, Pentagon concerned that Israel is close to launching a ground war in Lebanon. Then, this week Israel did something quite strange. Yeah, it's never been done in modern warfare. It's never been done where they hit bombs in pagers were there before mobile phones technically came. You know, you can only receive alerts, message, SMS type of messages, but you can't use it. You can't use it for calls. So pagers were used. So let me just, this headline says, Israel spies hid bombs in Hezbollah pagers at factory and blew them up by sending coded message. So Israeli spies planted explosives in thousands of Hezbollah's pagers before detonating them by sending a coded message, a source has claimed. Chaos erupted across Lebanon after hundreds of pagers used by Hezbollah terrorists exploded almost simultaneously in deadly attack that left at least 12 people dead and thousands injured. Iran-backed Hezbollah blamed Israel for the attack and vowed to deliver a just punishment. The blast saw at least 12 people dead and nearly 3,000 injured, including Hezbollah terrorists and Iranian ambassador. Israel's Mossad spy agency hid small amount of explosives beside the pagers ordered by Hezbollah months before Tuesday's detonations, two sources claimed. A senior Lebanese security source said the group had ordered 5,000 beepers. That's the pagers or beepers made by Taiwan-based Gold Apollo, which were brought into the country in spring. The pagers being ordered after the group's leader ordered members to stop using smartphones, in February over fears they could be tracked by Israeli spies. They said the devices had been modified by Israel's spy service at the production level. They said the Mossad injected a bot inside the device that has explosive material that receives a code. It's very hard to detect it through any means, even with any device or scanner. They added that 3,000 of the pages exploded when a coded message was sent to them, simultaneously activating the explosives. And this is what shook the world, because it's not been done by any country. And Israel did it. And that was Tuesday. Then Wednesday, two walkie-talkies were exploding. Some people's mobile phones too exploding in Lebanon. It was like massive attack, and you can imagine the panic and fear hitting Hezbollah, because now electronic devices became a weapon that is being used to kill, and that's what happened this week, which has shaken the security system in the world by Israel's aggressive strategy, because it's a very bold move, which if you listen to various networks and analysts, it's like, wow, this is at a new level. And that's warfare, modern day warfare. I mean, Israel playing it out right before our eyes. Okay, so we have the U.S. also. Pentagon concerned. Okay, now I've read that one. U.S. moves soldiers to Alaska Island amid Russian military activity increase in the area. So the U.S. military has moved about 130 soldiers along with mobile rocket launchers to a desolate island in the Aleutian chain of western Alaska amid a recent increase in Russian military planes and vessels approaching American territory. 8 Russian military planes and 4 Navy vessels, including 2 submarines, have come close to Alaska in the past week as Russia and China conducted joint military drills. None of the planes breached U.S. airspace, and the Pentagon spokesperson said on Tuesday there was no cause for alarm. It's not the first time they've seen Russians and Chinese flying, we know, in the vicinity, and that's something that we obviously closely monitor. And it's also something that we are prepared to respond to. The Pentagon spokesperson, Major General Pat Ryder, said at a news conference. And that's, you know, the tensions flaring up little by little. You know, Putin this week gave a stark warning to NATO that, I mean, if they want war, they'll get it nuclear. Because if they allow Ukraine to attack deep using the British missiles, then they are going to, it's going to be considered a direct confrontation. And it looks like this has put some fear in some NATO countries. I think Finnish government sent a direct message to Russia that they are not part of, they don't want trouble, they won't attack Russia. Clearly you can see that the fear of the message has sent ruffles throughout the NATO systems. And you know, I keep saying it, that there are people who love the war because they benefit directly from it, and there are those who are careful about it because, you know, they know the capability of nuclear and all that, so it's not something that you just joke around with. Okay, so we have UN demands Israel withdraw to pre-1967 borders within a year, limiting Israel's ability to fight terrorism. So there was a vote in the UN this week. United Nations General Assembly overwhelmingly voted to adopt a non-binding Palestinian resolution calling on Israel to end without delay unlawful presence in the occupied Palestinian territory within a year or face consequences, including embargoes. The resolution calls on Israel to withdraw from all territories seized after 1967 Six-Day War, including East Jerusalem. Israel has consistently maintained that holding these territories is necessary for the defense and security. UNGA, that's the UN General Assembly's resolution, also called on member states to refrain from selling military equipment or weapons to Israel that could be used in Palestinian territories. So So we also have the so the resolution, the first proposed by the Palestinian delegation since being granted diplomatic privileges in May, was approved with 124 nations voting in favor and 14 against and 43 abstentions. The 14 UN member states who voted against the UNGA's motion are Argentina, Czech Republic, then Fiji, Hungary, Israel, Malawi, Micronesia, Nauru, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Paraguay, Tonga, Tuvalu, and the United States. Of course, Ghana is absent. We are always voting against Israel at the UN meetings. Okay, that's up to us. Okay, then we have our eyes. This is the headline. Our eyes are on God. 16.2 million Christians forced from their homes in South Saharan Africa, states of Nigeria. That's serious. Pastor Barnabas is among millions of Christ followers living in overcrowded displacement camps in Nigeria after Fulani militants attacked the pastor, his late brother, and his brother's late wife whilst they were on their farm in 2019. Armed with guns, machetes, and sticks, one of the terrorists broke Barnabas's hand with a stick, an injury that still impacts him 5 years later. Whilst he was fortunate enough to escape the onslaught, his brother, Evering, and brother's wife, Friday, were not. "Now, I've lost everything that I had," Barnabas was quoted as saying in the new report. "No road home from the Christian persecution watchdog Open Doors, detailing the massive displacement of Christians across sub-Saharan Africa. Everything in my home and village was burnt. I was left with nothing." For the past 5 years, Barnabas and his family have lived in a camp filled with 5-foot tents made of used cardboard and plastics. People in the camp struggle daily to find work and provide food for their families. To this day, Barnabas's hand is still damaged, but he can't afford the medical treatment he needs. Living at the IDP camp, Barnabas serves as a minister for his fellow Christians who are forced to live there due to violent persecution. "Millions of Christians are displaced here in Nigeria, as well as in the whole of Africa," Barnabas said in a statement shared with Christian Post. "We are remaining in the darkness." Then Open Doors, which monitors Christian persecution in over 60 countries, reports that over 32 million people in sub-Saharan Africa, half, that 16.2 of whom are Christians, have fled from their homes in recent years due to increasing violence, often perpetrated by Islamic extremist groups or groups of radicalized Fulani herders who have killed tens of thousands of predominantly Christian farming communities in the last decade. The organization's new report is based on data gathered from two states in Nigeria, where violence has resulted in mass displacement of Christian communities and made the nation among the top 10 IDP hosting countries worldwide. Christian Post IDPs minds have been discouraged, Barnabas said. "As a pastor in the camp who is also displaced, I don't have anything to give to them. We only pray together and share the word of God together. Our eyes are on God. Our hope is in Him. We put our confidence in Him. We believe He is great. He will do it more than we have expected." Open Doors warns the region is one of the most violent places in the world for believers of Jesus. Wow, that's unfortunate. All right, then Christian mother sentenced to death for blasphemy in Pakistan. A Christian mother of four children on Wednesday received a death sentence after a judge convicted her of blasphemy under their penal code. And then, so Shagufta Kiran, 40, was convicted under Section 295 of Pakistan's widely condemned blasphemy laws for insulting Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, which carries a mandatory death sentence. She was arrested by the Federal Investigation Agency on July 29, 2021, in Islamabad, for allegedly sharing blasphemous content in a WhatsApp group in September 2020. Her husband and two sons were also taken into custody during the raid, but were later released. The complaint against Quran was registered by a Muslim named Shiraz Ahmad Farouk, who alleged that she had shared content disrespectful of Islam's prophet. Hamid told Christian Daily International Morning Star News, and it goes on to say that, however, Kiran has maintained that she has not authored the content and had simply forwarded it to the WhatsApp group without reading it. Wow. Formerly a nurse, Kiran had joined several interfaith WhatsApp groups where she proclaimed the gospel and defended her faith. And due to what happened, so they are appealing, the lawyer will be appealing to the superior courts against the ruling. Pakistan ranks 7th on Open Doors 2024 World Watch list of most difficult places to be a Christian, as it was previous year. Then this week there was a bombshell by the Pope. This is not the first time, but he's done it and he said it again. Pope in multi-faith Singapore, he went in the Asia region tours, says that all religions are a path to God. Mm-hmm. In a line that may once again stir reaction in more traditional Catholic quarters, Pope Francis on Friday wrapped up a 3-day visit to Singapore, a country with large pockets of at least 5 different faiths, that all religions are a path to God. They are like different languages in order to arrive at God, but God is God for all, the Pope said, who had set aside his prepared text and spoke largely off the cuff. Since God is God for all, then we are all children of God. The pontiff made his remarks during an interreligious meeting with young people held at a Catholic junior college just prior to departing Singapore for his return flight to Rome. Such rhetoric has stirred controversy in the path among more conservative Catholics who fear that it calls into question Catholic doctrine on Christ as the lone savior of the world and also undercuts missionary efforts to bring people to the faith. When Francis used similar language at an interfaith meeting during the 2022 trip to Kazakhstan, Auxiliary Bishop Athanasios Schneider of the national capital of Astana, a frequent papal critic, warned that it risked creating a supermarket of religions. Judging by his Friday remarks, however, the pontiff has not been deterred by such blowback. If you start to fight, my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where would that lead us? Sorry, he asked aloud. There's only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sheikh, some are Muslim, some are Hindu, Christian, and they are different paths to God. Catholics in Singapore make up about 3.5% of the population, just about 6 million. And overall, Christian of all types represent about 19% of the population. Buddhists are 31% and Muslims 15%, with significant Hindu and Sikh minorities as well. You know, there's one thing about the end time which we have to understand. And, you know, when it comes to the issue of religion, the interfaith agenda is one key one, because it's even pushed at the UN level and all, where it's like we serve the same God. Just as the Pope said, you know, this interfaith dialogue, we are one. So, you know, for instance, in the closing statement, it says that Pope invited the youth to do everything possible to maintain a courageous attitude and promote an environment in which young people can enter into dialogue, because interreligious dialogue is something that creates a path. So interreligion, we are one, we serve the same God. And see, it's one of the deceptions of the end time that we must be very, very alert and aware of. See, except you don't believe the Bible, exactly what Jesus said. I mean, let me just get into John 14 verse 1, so that we just exactly the words of Jesus. John 14 is clear about it. You know, this is why we can't go outside the scriptures and make, I mean, our own, set our own standard, I mean, then say that, oh, anything goes. See, it's very clear. So let me just start from, let not your heart be troubled. We believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And then 4, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? 6, the emphasis is here, 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Finished. So, I mean, there's nothing else to add to this. John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So it's either we believe this statement by Jesus or we do not believe it. There's no debate. There's no trying to expatiate and make it seem to be what it didn't say to be. I mean, if we believe it, we stand by it. If we don't believe it, then you can go the inter-dialogue way, inter-faith dialogue and all that they talk about. But you see, but this is where the issue is. So it's being pushed at the highest level, as I said, from the UN level. The Pope has been pushing it, other, you know, politicians. And we are seeing it in Ghana here. We are seeing it. Even in this election cycle, we are seeing it played out. You see, so Christians have to be alert about this push that is playing out in our time, the end time. Oh, like all roads leads to God the same, it doesn't matter. So it's like you are going to Accra, somebody can use the Konongo, somebody can say it's going to pass through Obuasi, somebody, you see, so oh, various ways, but we'll get to the same destination. And see, the article I read stated something which is insightful, and it's interesting, the fact that if it is so, then there's no need to do evangelism again. There's no need to pray for people's salvation again, because after all, then everybody is saved wherever they are. But we all know that is not the case. You see, so this is the danger that we find ourselves in. And it's even more disheartening sometimes when you realize even pastors, some pastors are falling for it or have fallen for it and are also propagating it. You see, you don't need to sometimes open your mouth and say something, but your attitude, how you act and what you do, the affiliations you make and all, confirms and endorses that you believe in this interfaith thing. And that's exactly what we are seeing. I mean, it's sometimes it's amazing how we just do everything just to fall in line with this interfaith thing. But you know, we cannot change the word of God. So it's either we believe it or we don't believe it. So those who do otherwise, it means they have doubt about the words of Jesus. But well, that's up to them. But at least you listening to this program this evening, be aware of the times we are in, be aware of the schemes being pushed. You know, there's, you know, some put it this way, the one world religion agenda, we serve the same God and all that. These are all various ways this thing is headed. But you know, that's how you can see how the deception will play out at a far serious way when time progresses, as we go further into the times. Like, I mean, Jesus warned, excessively gave us the warning about deception in Matthew 24:5, you read there, it talks about deception. 24:11 talks about deception. 24:24 talks about deception. So deception is a major part of the end times. So whichever way it's going to play out, we should be aware that deception is going to be paramount. So when we see the signals, then we should be alert and not fall prey to the deception out there. All right, so the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I'll be back after this song. Thank you.
an offering, totally devoted to proclaim the greatness and the power of your name. Your faithfulness has never changed, and now
beautiful one by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You know, that choir never disappoints. You know, their songs are always a blessing. And, well, to be pleasing pleasing God, that should be the ultimate. You know, it's so important that sometimes we forget that our life as Christians is to please God. And so sometimes it's as if we are living for ourselves, but that shouldn't be the case. The standard is to please God. And last week we started this interesting discussion of parenting, and we're looking at Joseph. And this evening Pastor Roger will be joining as well. We'll be continuing from there. It's been a lot. Last week we talked about quite a number of important things, and this evening we are continuing as well. You know, it's so important. You know, whenever I read the story of Joseph, I realize this man is a real model that parents should use to train their children. I mean, he's a standard model of morality, of boldness, of a child of God. I mean, because you really see someone who, a child 17 years thrown out as a slave, you know, goes into exile or like servitude and all that, and is able to stand. But his amazing, the most amazing part of his life is his encounter with Mrs. Potiphar. And I mean, you see something that is extremely, extremely interesting, because clearly, I mean, this is something which the average youth now feel. But then this is someone who, at the time when he was enduring this, there was no Bible. The only thing we can know is he was brought up, the father brought him up in a godly way, because that's the only thing that showed that, yes, he was brought up in a godly way, and that's what kept him, and that's what he lived by. It's quite an interesting thing. So Pastor Roger will be joining by call soon, and I think, yeah, I'm expecting him to call, to join by call, and then we'll be continuing from there. But in the meantime, whilst I'm waiting for him to join, you know, when you read Genesis chapter 39, where that's the main parts of this episode of Joseph had with Mrs. Potiphar, it's quite insightful. If you read this part, it says that, you know, verse 9, there is none greater in this house than I, neither had he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I sin against God? It didn't end there. But you also have the next verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day. This is the interesting thing. The lady was really, 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 really stubborn. I mean, day by day, consistent, not giving up. And hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for joining this evening. Hello. Okay.
Hello, good evening, and good evening to your cherished listener.
Okay, yeah. Hello? Yeah.
You can hear me clearly.
Yeah, I can hear you clearly. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I was just reading Genesis 39. Let me just finish the verse 10 that I was talking about. So it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And this is very significant, because the woman gave the offer, come and lie by me. So this is the offer, come. I mean, as simple as that. But Joseph refused that offer and would not even be with her. This is the wisdom this man, young man, had. Knowing very well that to even be with her alone is temptation. So he avoided even to be with her. You know, it's the more I read, I realize this is a standard moral code he lived by. And that's why we are discussing these things, to help ourselves, as well, parents, and then to also know how to help our children in this, you know, poisonous generation, and put it that way. And I believe that's the essence of this series. So yeah, so let's continue from last week, you know, in the Joseph series, just as I'm reading now. So let's continue from there.
Okay, thank you very much. Last week we looked at parenting.
Yeah.
And I wrote this definition of parenting from Cambridge Dictionary, which said, parenting is the raising of children and all the responsibilities and activities that are involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we began by saying that, yes, almost every parent knows his or her responsibilities. And for that one, we're doing it 100%, 101%. But what we are left to do is the activity part.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk of activity, activity has to do with day in, day out, sitting together, talking, and the rest. And you realize that, so we see where children learn from. Children learn from watching, and therefore that's why cartoons are training them a lot, and the rest. But aside watching, what is the other way the children learn? That is through the oral communication.
Yeah.
And this is an activity that we feel. An activity that majority of us as parents feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel doing our responsibilities towards the child automatically lets the child grow. But we should know that even when somebody keep the child without us being there, the child will still grow.
Mm-hmm.
So the activity becomes a major part, and that is what is what I would say will be the written code within the tablets of the child's heart that he walks day in and out with. And therefore, and that is why last week we're trying to trace back how Joseph became that strong to reject such a lovely proposal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying a lovely proposal because, as you rightly read from scripture, the proposal came not once, not twice, but it said day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Day by day. If we know of something falling to Delilah's proposal because it was also day by day. But Joseph did not fall day by day. So where did Joseph learn all these things from? No book, as a slave in a foreign land, not a prepared slave, but an unprepared slave. I'm saying an unprepared slave because if he was a prepared slave, he knew he was about to be sold, so he would pick some things. Or if you are about traveling, you pick some things to make sure you travel with. But an unprepared slave, he didn't know he was not going to come back that day.
Yeah.
So, as parents, we should ask ourselves, what if the next day is the last day we see our children? Would they be able to survive? Would they be able to survive? And then when we trace this thing back, we came to Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. And in Genesis 37, verse 2, we saw one that was embedded in Joseph, that was Joseph brought unto his father their evil report.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Joseph was 17 years old. How many were they? They were 11, because Benjamin was a kid or baby. They were 11, but Joseph could still bring an evil report. And when he brought the evil report, he would not go and sit by his father quietly and tell him. But you should know that he would say the report so that everyone knows that this report was tendered in by Joseph. So it tells you that as at the age 17, Joseph knew right from wrong.
Yeah.
As at the age 17, Joseph was bold, 10 against 1. it's quite a huge number that will make you afraid.
Mm-hmm.
As at the age 17, Joseph was confident of what he knew, that you could not take this sense away from me. And last week, we also added to it Jacob's love for Joseph, not just being only about his character, but about was the extension of his love for his mother, Rahel. So we saw that Jacob had a very close relationship with Joseph. And when we look at the things Jacob would have shared with Joseph, these are the things that will let Joseph, that will sustain Joseph in the foreign land. So I'll look at some of these things that Jacob was shared with Joseph. Remember, at the time Joseph was growing, Jacob had transformed. He had encountered God, and therefore he was no longer the Apache Joseph, Jacob that we knew.
He was
a changed person.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that the father will put into the son that will let the son be that strong, and so that we know some of the things we can impact into our children? We know that our children look to us a lot when they watch us doing things and they admire us. We are their superheroes. Yes, but if you can tell them the things you went through and how you survived, your ups and downs, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I believe it will reshape the life of your child. So Joseph learned the consequences of being dishonest from his father. Why am I saying the consequences of being dishonest? In Genesis 27, verse 35, I want to be giving scripture so that we can refer to. In Genesis 27, verse 35 to 37,
mm-hmm.
we see this there. That was about the blessing. He said, and he said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? So in Genesis 27, 35 to 37, we have been given a summary behavior of Jacob. And parents, if we hide our behaviors in our childhood from our children, how would they learn?
Mm-hmm.
Every parent wants to tell the child, I was first in school. I was the best. I never did anything wrong. So the child realizes that he can't live up to that standard. But here, Jacob probably would have told Joseph that I stole your uncle's blessing. This is how I stole it. And what were the consequences that he went through? So it was not just about I stole my brother's blessing, but about did I suffer for stealing my brother's blessing? We'll see it in Genesis 31, verse 7. In Genesis 31, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. So he would tell his son, I was an Apache. I stole my brother's blessing, that's your uncle, and all this. But I also met a serious Apache in Genesis 31:7. Number one, the first one was, it was not only about he changed my blessing. Number one, he changed my wife.
Yeah.
He changed my wife. He gave me another wife who I did not choose. So that tells us that was one of the consequences of his father's dishonest behavior. I met Rahel, but by the time I was about marrying Rahel, my father-in-law behaved exactly like I was. He gave me the elder one. He said, and Laban said to Jacob, because thou art my brother. Okay. He gave me the elder one. Let's just leave it there. He gave me the elder one.
Yeah.
So that was the consequences of being Apache, round one. The next one was the Genesis 31:7. He even changed my wages 10 times. So if it had not been God, I wouldn't even have survived till this time. Because every work I did, I got zero. Every work I did, everybody gets promoted and he goes up the ladder, but I was going down the ladder. So, here, Joseph, what does this story do to Joseph? He learns that I cannot be dishonest. So when we come to the Genesis 39 you were reading, he cannot be dishonest. One of the things Joseph told him, verse 8, number one, he refused. Why could he refuse? Because he has stood before his brothers who were tough, who could kill a whole tribe when Dinah was raped.
Mm-hmm.
But he could stand before his brothers and tell them that hey, they stole some goods. they did not do things well. So who was Potiphar's wife? He was a military officer's wife, but he was not afraid of him. So in verse 8, he said, but he refused. So straight away, he said, madam, no. When the woman pressed further, verse 9, he says, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How did Joseph know God from the father's story?
Yeah.
So, our children will not necessarily know God from reading the scripture. You may be a good Christian. You may be a pastor listening to me. Your children will not necessarily know God from reading scripture. They may not necessarily know God from looking up to you. They will know God from the way you chat with them. You are the first point of call for them to know God. So this is how he knew God. This is how he knew God. How did Joseph learn of God's presence? How did Joseph learn of God's presence? He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How did he know of God's presence? He knew of God's presence from Genesis 20:12-15. When the father had stolen the brother's blessing and had slept on the stone, when he had a dream of angels ascending and descending, what happened to him? In the dream, he heard the voice of God. And what did God say? I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whether thou goest. So if his father was keeping track of what God said, that means it was because of God that Laban could not hurt him. It was because of God that even though he got caught up with the consequences of his dishonest behavior, it was God who took him out.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe the day Joseph also had the dream, the father will now tell him, I also had a dream, and from that dream God kept me. So with this dream, it is God keeping you, and it is God speaking to you. So all along, Joseph would have grown with the consciousness of God. Yeah. You can read about God, but will not have the consciousness of God. Mm-hmm. They are two different things.
Yeah.
You can know about God, but you will not know, you will not have the consciousness of God. Having the consciousness of God is having a feeling that God is present with you everywhere you go. I think within the week, I spoke to you about a pastor who prescribed this solution for people who were having sleepless nights, were afraid, and the rest. He said, put a chair by your bed, an empty chair, and then now create a consciousness that God is sitting in the chair by your bed and sleep. The first person he told said, I tried it 3 days and I wanted to come and tell you it's a waste of time. But on the fourth day, I felt a presence in my room. That is the consciousness of God. And yet that presence eased all tension, pushed out all fear, because he now knew God was with him. How many of our children know God is with them?
Yeah.
So last week, I remember you brought the story of the Cape Coast University girls who cook for their, they have created the whole family thing, become housewives, cook before they go to lectures and the rest. Yes. It is because, you see, many of our children feel that when we are with them, then God is with them. But when they move far from us, God is not with them. That was not the consciousness Jacob created for Joseph. He created that consciousness that God is with you. Because God kept me when I was running away. And God brought me back when I was coming. So that keeps them. And so that is why I'm saying that it is not just about praying with them, but it's also about how we communicate with them.
Yeah.
The activity aspect. A pastor said, he told the daughter, I'm laying my hands on you and I'm praying with you. As you go, know that your father is with you. Whatever you do, I will know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that kept the daughter. That kept the daughter until the day the daughter married. That kept the daughter pure. Why? The daughter was able to relate to the words of the father.
Yeah.
But most time it is about, have you read your scripture? Have you read your Bible? This, take it. But if we bring it to even the hospital situation, you have to help your child with a prescription. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Sometimes you fetch the water for the child to take it. Or sometimes you are the one who even put the drug or the tablet in the mouth of the child. What are you doing? You are helping the child to be able to take the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
If we can help our children to take God, to accept God, to see God the way he is, I believe that our children will not lose God.
Yeah.
So the activity is where we have that issue.
It's true, because there's been, I don't remember where I read it, but as to the worrying trend of, this was pertaining to the U.S., as I keep saying, you know, we don't do these statistics here, there's surveys and polls and all, but in the U.S., for instance, there's a sizable number of youth who are just, Christian youth, who are just wishing to get 18 and then get to college, and then that means they can be free from, have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? Will you go to church? Type of monitoring, you know, type of overseeing the parents, ensuring that they are doing. Have you done? They want the freedom. So they are just waiting to be adult just to, you know, break out. And that's a worry, because if the child sees himself or herself as a Christian only because he or she is under your shelter, but once they move out of your shelter or under your control or under your watch, they intend to dump your so-called faith or your so-called Christ, your so-called religion, then that's a serious issue. So it comes back to the communication, as you are the activity, which the communication is the foundation of it. Hello.
Yeah. So I think our time is getting close, but yeah, I think I can add one to it. Where did Joseph learn love from? Because one of the key things that will shake everyone's life is love.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph heard his brother literally selling him.
Yeah.
Because he was in the pit. And these guys were passing. And usually, when you go through such traumatizing situation, it can change you for the worse.
Yeah.
So how did it keep him? Joseph learned love from his father. In Genesis 33, verse 4, Esau forgave him by running to embrace him.
Uh-huh.
He learned love from his father. So when he had experienced that love, that his father loved him, gave him a coat of many colors, and he also gets to know how after all that his father did to his uncle could run and embrace him. By the time Joseph left the pit and got to Egypt, he has forgotten, he has literally forgotten about the pain his brothers have caused him. And so, if you go through, you could see how he also came back to embrace his brothers. Same pattern as the uncle did for his father. Because when we go through such pain, it can change us into monsters.
Yeah.
It can change us to become animals. Some people in their homes, just a little bit of rejection can change their lifestyle.
Oh.
Someone will tell you, I am behaving this way because
of, yeah,
my father, my mother do not love me, and therefore I also want to behave in a way that they will know that this is how they brought me up.
Okay. I think we'll just have to draw the curtain for tonight.
Yeah.
Our friend Ben yeah, sent a message.
Yeah.
Such a vital question. What if today is the last day you see your child? What will happen upon him? When you are out, what will happen to the child? Can they survive? As you were asking, that's what he's also elaborating. That is a vital question about the importance of we really ensuring that they can stand alone. And that's a serious issue indeed. That's a serious issue. All right, so soon, time is up, and God willing, next week we'll be continuing. This is recorded. Last week's, of course, that's also online. You can listen to last week's edition. This evening's will be added to it as well. So thank you, Pastor Roger, for joining us this evening on Issues.
Thank you, Eben, and thank you, listeners, for being with us.
Okay.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too. All right, so listeners, all too soon, the time is up, and this is Eben, program Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. Greetings to our listeners, wherever they are, and I believe you've learned something this evening, and God willing, next week we'll be continuing. It's an important series, which I believe we all have things to learn, both parents and youngsters and all, everyone. because, you know, we are in a generation that is so twisted and turned upside down. And I believe these are the things we should be discussing as well to help us shape our homes right. Thank you for tuning in. Good night, and God bless you.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.